The shortest book in the Bible. And while we're thinking about that, we have had the wonderful theme of the Father and the Son. Many precious thoughts that, you know, are going to change our lives as we enter in this wonderful revelation. And we've been in the deep, calm, peaceful waters of John's Gospel, where we have the Father revealed to us through His Son. And I'd like to read that was read to us that gives us the very core of John's Gospel in that hymn 127. Dwells in His bosom, knoweth all that in that bosom lies, and came to earth to make it known that we might share His joys. And so the revelation of the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ is to let us know what kind of a Father we have. Now we find those wonderful words, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, past, present, future." And so, this wonderful theme of the Father and the Son indeed is what we need as we think of leaving time and passing into eternal day in brightest glory. Now, the shortest book in the Bible has an expression there that I want to draw from, and that is the second epistle of John. Second epistle of John, and this is the only time that we have this expression. Reading verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the expression, the Son of the Father in truth and love. The Son of the Father, the only time that you have that expression. And as we meditated on the Father and the Son, we see such harmony, such unity. There's no independent action one from the other. They work together. We had read to us this morning that they went both of them together. And so here we have the Spirit of God causing this same John to write these words and to give this sweet touch, the Son of the Father. Now it presses my heart this way, that we learn in this expression how the heart of the Father is so bound up in the Son. And we have, read verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. Here's the elect lady's children, and they have received the revelation of the Father and the Son in their hearts, and the result is that they are walking in truth. And there's no greater joy to a parent's heart than to see their children walk in truth, but there must be this wonderful revelation. And so when we think of the Father, we don't realize it at first, but it's the Father that has touched our hearts to draw us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and to receive the gospel. But we don't realize that. But after we have received the gospel and we know and love the Lord Jesus as our own precious Savior, then He reveals the Father to us. But now in this expression, we just want to trace for a little bit the Father's heart bound up in the Son. Going to go back to the Old Testament for a picture. And as we go back, I don't want to in any way try to reduce the glory of the Godhead, but just to see that God has given us a very precious picture to lead our hearts out in this very wonderful truth. And it's found in Jacob and Joseph. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 45. I'm going to read just what I have on my heart and comment. Chapter 45 and verse 13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall make haste and bring down my father hither. Verse 24. So Joseph sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Verse 5 of the next chapter. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba. Notice the tenderness here. And the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. Verse 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. What a moment this is for the sons of Jacob to discover that their brother, whom they had dropped into a pit, and they pulled him out and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And they divided up the money, killed a goat, took that coat of Joseph's and dipped it in the blood. And then they brought it to their father. Their father takes his coat and he looks at it. And he said, surely an evil beast hath devoured him. And he said that this thing is going to bring my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. You know, it's a crushing thing to lose a child, to lose a son. The sorrow cannot be described in words. But Jacob's sorrow went beyond this further. Jacob had heard Joseph say one day that he had had two dreams. One dream was that they were in the field working with the sheaves, and everyone's sheaf bowed down to him. And the second dream was that the sun and the moon and the stars did obeisance to him. Here he is, a young boy. And you know, I don't think he knew what those dreams had any idea what they meant. And perhaps he just asked that somebody might bring some light on why he had this experience. And all it did was just to bring out the hatred and envy of his brothers. But it says his father observed, or he kept the saying in his heart. He didn't know what it meant either. But he knew that somewhere there was the exaltation of his son that was going to come to pass, and his father's love was looking forward to it. And he holds his coat, and that's all gone by the way. And you know, that grief never left him. That grief pressed on his heart for over 22 years. And now here the sons are in the courts of Egypt, and there's their brother Joseph, and he says, go and tell my father of all my glory here in Egypt. Can't you just feel him gasp? Wonderment? Conviction of conscience. And Joseph says to them, and see that ye fall not out by the way. You know, when you read that casually, you think, oh, that wasn't necessary for Joseph to say that. But it was very necessary that Joseph said that to his brethren. You know, they had a few days on the road. And there they are, 11 of them. And there would have had just been one question that could have been asked in their midst, maybe one evening. Who was it that started all this trouble? Been like an explosion and scattered them. Thank God we read they all came. To think of them looking into the face of their father and to tell him that Joseph was yet alive. He didn't believe it. He was faint. And here comes this wonderful support to catch him in his faint. The royal wagons turning in at the gate. And he looks at these wagons. And he sees that not only are the wagons come to carry him, but the provision in the back of those wagons, lavishly furnished for his comfort and that of his family. But notice what he says. And Israel said, "It is enough." Couldn't we say it a different way to make it any easier? No, I think we'll have to hold to these words. It is enough. The sudden release of the sorrow of over 22 years, to have it evaporate into joy and wonderment. I think of the hymn writer as he penned those beautiful words, hymn 303. It is enough. Thy grace around us pours, thy rich and unexhaustible store, and all thy joys are ours. Oh, think of the trauma of this moment. It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Well, we want to remember that the picture is human, but we want to think of something far greater. Of the Lord Jesus coming into this world and coming unto his own, and his own received him not. And for the Father to look down upon his Son and to see rejection to be his lot every day of his life in this world, and to see his path uncheered by earthly smiles leading on to the cross, and there to have the whole world rise up with one voice, crucify him. Did the Father feel this? Indeed he felt it. And he's going to have his people weep as a father who has lost his only son, that they might know how the Father felt when they lifted up his only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary in shame, reproach, and derision. The Lord Jesus went through those 3 hours of darkness making full atonement for our sins, that not one charge could come against us. And he said, "It is finished." Would I dare to say in the background we could hear those words, "It is enough," from the Father? Not another hand will be laid on his Son, never another remark by the world leveled against him. It is enough. Well, I see the day of departure come there. In Hebron, I see those boys, you know, they're in their 40s now. They sold Joseph when they were in their 20s. They're in their 40s. To see them so solicitous of their father, to say, "Father, let us help you on the wagon. We want to make sure you're comfortable. The journey is quite a ways." Quite a different lot, aren't they? Oh, how wonderful when the grace of God pours upon us, it changes hearts, lives, families, individuals, oh, to know of that sovereign grace, how well it's put, it pours rich and unexhausted store, and now they're on their way to Egypt. We get a picture on the other side of Joseph. He's getting his chariot ready too. And we try to visualize these two companies as they're going to come together. The Apostle Paul could say to Timothy and those that love his appearing. Do you understand what that means, to love his appearing? Here to me is a beautiful picture of Jacob going to see Joseph. He's looking for his appearing. You know, you just let me say this. Jacob is made to realize, Father, the meeting is just down the way a little bit. And to see that dear old man stand up on the back of that wagon, it's jostling along and he's steadying himself there and he's looking down the road as far as he can see the appearing of his son Joseph in his glory. He's not going to see a shepherd boy of 17 feeding the sheep. No, that's past. He's now in his glory. He's going to see a man arrayed in royal robe and a crown and a chariot of royalty. What a sight to anticipate. To think of the Lord Jesus coming back to this world. Are we interested in that? Indeed, we're very interested. You know, when he comes back, it tells us that his vesture is dipped in blood. He's coming back to take vengeance on his enemies. But you know, after that's through and over, it tells us that when his judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants shall learn righteousness. Think of a world filled with peace and equity, the way it's going to be. Oh, to love his appearing. We come out of heaven with him, but you know, we're not going to have to strain our eyes, but we're here in this world to think of how our eyes will search all that his glory touches here in this world, and our hearts will never be truly and fully satisfied until we see the Lord Jesus have his rightful place in this world where he was crucified and cast out. Well, again we say, the heart of the Father was bound up in his Son. How beautiful is that meeting? It's a hallowed scene, is it not? It's a scene that we want to look at and yet we kind of look away. The moment is so great. The glory, the joy is so wonderful. The Spirit of God gives us, and he presented himself unto his Father. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. You know, we need this to help us to understand how the Father delights in the Son. The one who has called us by his grace out of this world of sin. This dangerous world that wants to claim our life and testimony at any given time. All we need is revelation of the Father's love to the Son. And we can close in that circle, most favored circle. And as we close into that circle, you know, there are tears there now. There's often tears of perhaps things that we remember in our life when we had lost this revelation in our souls of the Father and the Son, that love and harmony and oneness. And Satan got in, drove a wedge. Thank God for restoration. Thank God for love that's still the same when the cloud passed by. Well, we just think of the sorrow of this world to pass away. Heaven and earth united under one head, and the praise and the glory given to the Son, and the Father looking on in such delight. It seems impossible this afternoon that earth could ever be united with heaven, but it's going to be at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, how wonderful is this little picture to help us, the Son of the Father. I'd like to just read in closing that lovely little hymn in the back of the hymn book, hymn number 17. I'm just going to read it, trusting that the Lord has exercised others for this hour. Son of the Father, hail. Son of God eternal, Jesus the sinner's friend, whose favor knows no end, love may thee condescend with men to make abode. And through thy precious blood, we're now brought nigh to God. Thee, Savior, Lord, we bless, our Lord Jesus, full of truth and power, highly blessed, blessed evermore.